Well, this is EWTN Radio, so there is some talking going on, but this is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We do a little bit of the talking, and we hope that you will do the majority of it, because you drive the show here on Take Two, and we're going to be presenting a topic for you here to take and run with. And Debbie, I think it is going to be one that a lot of people can resonate with today.
Oh, yeah. We're asking the question, how Catholic are our Catholic schools? How Catholic have they remained our schools? So we're talking about the day. Could be a hot button topic, could strike a nerve, could resonate with you. And maybe you want to share something about your experience with Catholic schools. Even if you didn't go to Catholic school, what you're noticing in your community, we'll share some examples. You've heard it on the news. There's always a little blurb on the news sometimes. Oh, Catholic school, you know, this particular university covered up the statues, or this particular school removed statues from the campus to embrace diversity. You know, there's all these little blurbs that we hear, and we think, okay, well, maybe, you know, that's okay, but is it really okay on the campuses? So let's talk about this, and let's see what we can do to make our Catholic schools authentically Catholic. Here's the number, 833-288 EWTN, that's 1-833-288-3986.
Yeah, in your area, maybe your kids go to a Catholic school right now that is very solid and very Catholic and just keeps that identity and just really instills that in your kids, or maybe you had that experience. Hey, we're not piling on anybody, and we're not here to just, you know, heap praise or anything. This is just a general conversation about the importance of Catholic schools, how they're faring these days. A lot of non-Catholic parents, Debbie, as we know, choose to put their kids into Catholic schools as a healthy alternative sometimes to public schools. Maybe some people choose to homeschool because they don't want their kids even in a Catholic school. So it just depends. You know, it's kind of a grab bag, depending on where we go around the country and talk about this.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, Jerry, because as I was doing the research on this, a lot of people who are not Catholic do send their children to Catholic schools for the high moral standards and also for the academic excellence. And they love that. And they understand when they sign their children up that they are signing them up in a Catholic school. I'll give you an example. Many people may or may not know this, but Whitney Houston, the late Whitney Houston, she went to a very prestigious Catholic school in New Jersey because her mother wanted her to have a very sound education, and she wanted that spiritual influence around Whitney Houston. And you know what? It really helped her. It helped her, and she didn't feel, from what I understand from different things I've read about her biographies and stuff, those were some of the happiest times of her life, was when she was in a Catholic environment. Jerry, I feel very passionate about this. I think this is a problem that we have in the culture. I went to Catholic school from K to kindergarten to eighth grade, graduated, and I loved my Catholic education, and we did embrace diversity. We did have people that were non-Catholic that came. They loved understanding and learning about what it means to be Catholic. They didn't necessarily convert. They went back to practicing being what they were, and that was wonderful. And you know what? It's just a shame that I believe that in our society, we are letting the authentically Catholic schools go by the wayside because we're being politically correct. If you feel this way, folks, you know, let's talk about how we can make it better, okay? Not necessarily just, you know, camping on the problem. Let's work towards what we can do to embrace our Catholic faith again in the Catholic schools. 833-288-EWTN. That's the number to call to get on the show and talk with us.
Yeah, if you're a non-Catholic and maybe you had that Catholic education that Debbie was talking about, even though you're not a member of the Catholic Church, or if you're a parent right now and you've chosen Catholic education, tell us why and share with the other the world, all of our listeners, you know, why you have made that decision. Number again is 833-288-3986. And also, like we mentioned, you know, there are some issues, there are some problems here and there and in some various places. Debbie, I used to host, as people know, a lot of Catholic radio share-a-thons. I'm not going to tell what city I was in or what diocese and what radio station, but one of the people who came in to spend an hour with us, you know, they have a different guest every hour, and this gentleman came in, and he was a theology teacher at the local Catholic high school, and off the air we were talking about that, and he was in his morality class, his Catholic Christian morality class. He said that I think all but one or two of the students were just fine with homosexuality, with abortion, with contraception. He was absolutely beside himself as to how to change that, you know. And of course, I'd love to ask our listeners the question: if that's the case at a Catholic school, where does the problem lie? You know, Debbie, is the problem with the school? Maybe not necessarily. You know, the problem might be in the home or what, you know, who these kids are hanging out with. So there's a lot of dynamics here that go. It's not just, you know, the condition of the Catholic school. Yeah, it's not just the condition of the school, but a lot of factors go into this. But we need to, Debbie, we're cheating our kids. Everything else, almost everything else in their lives is stacked against them right now, except for your family and your school that you go to and your church. Other than that, your peers, your friends, the world, the culture, entertainment, media, they're all going to lead you down a path to hell, and your kids as well, if we're not careful. So we got to be very, very, this is very important if we look at, you know, the educational avenues of our kids.
I totally agree with you, Jerry, and I'm glad we're having this conversation. Let's make it a very fruitful one, one that's productive, one that we can walk away feeling like, well, you know what? We can pray more, we can fast, we can do things to help our Catholic schools. And believe me, prayer does work, folks. So if you want, if you have something to say about this, about how Catholic, you know, quote unquote, how Catholic are our Catholic schools, we want to hear from you. 1-833-288-EWTN. You see how easy you can remember that? 833-288-3986. But don't hesitate. Don't wait till the end of the show, because we won't get you on, and then we're going to have to feel bad that we left you hanging on the line.
Right? Or do a part two and part three. And
yeah, I know. And then we'll get emails on that saying, please don't do any more part threes.
Well, you know, we have great examples of our Catholic schools. They're still exemplary in many, many cases in this day. Remember the Covington Catholic boys who were, you know, after the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and they got just totally, crucified. And then as the truth came out, you know, we realized how virtuous and patient and really, you know, ethical and charitable that they really were. So if you want to call and just say, hey, I think Catholic schools are still doing a great job, and maybe there's one in your area in specific that is, then we can talk about that too. Again, Debbie and I don't have an agenda here. We just want to have this conversation to see where everything comes down at the end of the program.
So the number to dial is 1-833-288-3986. There is one open phone line. So if you're feeling that little tug in your spirit and you say, oh, I could probably help out this conversation, please do so. We want to hear from you. This is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you, and how important you are to this conversation. When we come back, we're going right to the phones to hear what you have to say about Catholic schools.
Well, well, look at this. Full phone lines, not a surprise on this program. We're so blessed to have you listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, not just today, but every day. And the emails we get and the correspondence, and we thank you for being a part of the program, really the most important part. So we'll get to your calls in a moment. I just want to mention that EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn is weeknights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And I've said it before, it's the only newscast that I really watch. I have a difficulty watching so many of the other ones, but we won't get into that right now. But I really encourage you all to catch Lauren and her great correspondence from all around the world on News Nightly, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay. Thank you for highlighting that. Jerry, real quickly, just want to thank our show team today. Michael Birchfield is at the controls. Ryan Penny is call screening. He's going to be answering your call, and you love that. Jeff Burson is monitoring social media, and Jeff does a great job at that. That's why we called Jeff Burson a social media expert. He's an expert. Okay. Jerry, just real quickly before we get Ann, hold on 1 second. In Dallas, Texas, I just want to share this because I really think this is a good example of what we could be facing for our Catholic schools, our elementary schools, our high schools, and our universities eventually. You know, I don't know if folks remember the story a few years back with the Dominican sisters that ran the school in, is it San Anselmo? Jerry, help me. You're in California. San Anselmo?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
is that how you pronounce it?
It is, yeah, it
okay.
is, yeah.
Okay, and it's San Domenico School in San Anselmo, California, and it's part of the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And the school started a couple years ago removing and relocating statues, okay, of the Blessed Mother, of the Blessed Mother holding the child Jesus, okay, removing them or relocating them to different portions of the campus, or maybe putting them away, because they didn't want to alienate non-Catholic students that would be could possibly come into the school. And that started just, I mean, everybody was outraged, and they started saying this is not right. And then said the school tried to say, well, we're going to embrace the Dominican sisters said we're going to embrace diversity. And it went on and on. And wouldn't you know it, Jerry, what happened a couple months later after they relocated the statues, they dropped their affiliation with the Archdiocese of San Francisco as a Catholic school. They dropped it. And they dropped their accreditation for Catholic schools. They dropped that as well. Now, the Dominican sisters apparently are still there, so there's some kind of presence, but it's now an independent boarding school, co-ed school, that is not Catholic affiliated. And it's been it had been running for what, over 100 years? I mean, Jerry, This is what could happen to all of our schools if we start to cave into this mentality. Now, their thought process was, well, now we're embracing everybody. Okay, well, so is it about money? Is that what it is? Is it about money? So, I mean, I've heard it said by many Catholic speakers, always follow the trail of money and you'll see the root cause of what's happening.
Well, I think you'd agree with this, and hopefully our listeners as well. Now is the time to be more Catholic, not less Catholic. And so we certainly pray for our Catholic schools at every level of education. Okay, that's our topic today. We have jam-packed lines, so when one becomes available, you can join us at 833-288-3986. It is Debbie Promised, Ann in Dallas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Ann, you're first today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm so excited to be talking about this topic because one of the things I see in our elementary school, a Catholic elementary school, is we've moved from being a parochial school with a focus on Catholic identity to more of a private school with a focus on academic identity.
Interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, Anne, did you hear my example of the school in California? And by the way, somebody just sent me a text. Thank you. The school was started in 1850. Okay. It was Catholic school since 1850. But Anne, that's exactly what they transitioned to that as well. And that's exactly what they found would bring in more students. And the kids, some of the kids felt that was odd. It didn't feel authentically Catholic. And some said, wow, this is great. We're embracing everybody. Well, when you embrace everybody under the banner of a Catholic school, what does that mean? You're embracing everybody's ideas of things, of the world, the way they conduct their lives, the philosophies. Okay, so Anne, is that what you're finding is happening at the school you are referencing?
Yes, I feel that we're diluting the Catholic identity. And if you follow the money trail, like you talked about, I believe our money trail is going to athletics and academics, not, I don't know where you'd spend your money on as a Catholic identity, maybe retreat, maybe some more support. But it saddens me that I can count on two hands the number of friends I have who attend Mass on the weekends with their children.
Hmm. Well, yeah, and I can appreciate your point in a particular way, Anne, as well, because being a lifelong sports fan, you mentioned some schools are really pursuing academic excellence and becoming sort of known in the reputation more, say, for academics than for the faith. It doesn't have to be either or, I don't think. But when it comes to the athletic thing, yeah, we've got schools all over the place. I don't know how Catholic they are because I don't look into this and I didn't go to any of them. But Modern Day in Los Angeles, Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, they're always number one, number two, number three in the USA Today top 25 football rankings and all of this. And I see that, and that makes me proud as a Catholic. But then I just have a casual thought in my mind, like, you know, I wonder how Catholic they are. You know, I hope they are. I'm not saying they aren't, but... So, Anne, I think your point is a good one. And what do you think, Anne? I don't think it has to be either or. I think you can have your full Catholicism, great academics, some extracurricular activities, sports, things like that. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think we miss the intersection of Catholic and sports. where good teammates, you know, being a good teammate, being a good sport, being a good coach, I think in some ways we do still give lip service to that, but I feel there's so much more we could do with integrating that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, and one other thing before we let you go, Ann, because you're saying some really good things starting off our conversation in a really productive way. The other thing that bothers me, too, is I noticed here, even in the diocese that I live in, you know, when you have an authentically Catholic school that's functioning and doing well, everybody tends to talk about it in the social circles as oh, that's a traditional Catholic school. Oh, that's a backwards Catholic school. And it just bothers me. Are you hearing any of that too? Like if you see that the Catholic schools are being more progressive, that's supposed to be a good thing? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, we're either 100% Catholic or you're not. You're just saying you're Catholic.
I love that you just said that because my one son is at a high school that's run by the Cistercians, so very, very focused on their Catholic identity. And, you know, it's difficult in today's world to raise teenage boys with a Catholic identity. And for sure, they are seen as traditional, live in a bubble, protected, naive. There's the advice, you know,
socially maladjusted, yeah. Right.
Yes, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, so there is a good flavor, but exactly right, that we are sort of behind the times in being so traditional.
Yeah. And great call. Thanks for getting us started today. We appreciate that. And again, it goes back to what I said before. It's time that we be more Catholic, not less, in our schools. It is urgent time, especially, as I said, the cards are completely stacked against our young people, Debbie. Anywhere outside of family, school, and church, they're going to be bombarded with predominantly negative, unhealthy, ungodly things. So this is a really important issue, especially as we move forward from this period in time.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk about this. If you want to jump in on this conversation, this is going to be a productive one. 833-288-3986. Let's move along to Kathy, and Kathy's in Erie, Pennsylvania. Kathy, welcome to Take Two.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I have a couple comments. We have two Catholic universities in Erie, and one of them had invited Bill and Hillary to come and speak at the college. Our pro-life group went and protested, of course, but it was like, how can you do that? You know, we're a Catholic university. This should not be happening. And the other comment I have is, it was several years ago, probably about 10, maybe 12, I accompanied our youth group to go down to Washington, D.C. for the pro-life march. And we had adoration in a public school auditorium. So go figure that one out. It was just awesome to be there. It was like, whoa, you know, this is God, you know, adoration of our true body of our Lord.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into the public school? I'm a little confused on that. How did that happen?
It was an evening. We drove down to Washington. A Catholic church had a spaghetti dinner for us, and they rented out. I don't know if the school did this all the time, but we used the auditorium in the evening.
Okay.
And we were all Catholic and had adoration. It had nothing to do with the school children or the school people, but we had adoration in a public school auditorium.
Wow.
Yeah, well, and it really is amazing, Kathy. And you mentioned, you know, it's a Catholic, quote unquote, Catholic school having, and it doesn't matter if it's Bill and Hillary or who it is, you know, it could be the head of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
If somebody is, you know, pro-abortion and promotes that, they have no business being on a Catholic campus, at least to speak and be honored as sort of a dignitary. But, you know, conversely, you don't see it the other way around. Who was this? I can't remember his name. It was a Greek name. The guy went to Cal Berkeley, was going to speak there. He's the gay man. It's Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever, but he's conservative. And remember, there was rioting and they were burning cars. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, they don't want it both ways. You know, it's the Catholic, you know, the liberal, sellout Catholic schools will have a pro-abort, But, you know, if some of these other secular, more, you know, liberal, if I can use that word, schools, you know, they want to have somebody conservative, you know, the students are, they yeah. write. And I think they're put up to it many times, you know, by whoever, the TV networks or whatever. But
well, right. But Jerry right. And Kathy, hold on. Let me ask you this question to both of you. OK, if you've done the research on why these universities tend to invite, you know, the head of Planned Parenthood and politicians that are not, promoting Catholic values. Okay, if you look at it, if you trace it back at how it started, there's a group in the school, you know, a different group of students that raise the question that they want a healthy debate. Okay, they want a healthy debate and a healthy conversation. They don't necessarily want to agree with these people that they're bringing in, but they want a healthy conversation. Now, here's my question I've got to you, Kathy, and to Jerry. Don't you guys feel like that when you bring somebody like a politician that is totally anti-Catholic or in so many ways, okay, even though you could explain this all you want, if a student or somebody passing by hears that, they're going to go, oh, isn't it great? The Catholic Church now endorses so-and-so. Oh, isn't that great? If the Catholic school has it, the Catholic Church must feel this way. And don't you feel it's very misleading? And I think it's Satan's way of just coming in from an academic perspective to make it seem like it's all in the head and intellectual and a good, healthy debate. And it's really very demonic. What do you think about that, Kathy?
I totally agree with that. Father Larry is a pastor in Erie, and he once said, you know, if you're going to be Catholic, you have to obey all of our Catholic rules set down from our Pope. And you might not like them, but you have to follow them. You can't pick and choose and say you're a Catholic, because if you're not following all the rules, you're not a Catholic. No different than your job. I don't, you know, a lot of my jobs, I didn't like all the rules, but if I didn't follow them, I was fired. You have to follow the rules.
Yep.
You're Catholic. This is what it's all about. And, you know, for me, I'd rather please God than if it means offending someone else. Well, excuse moi, but I'm my alliance lies with God, and that's it.
And beautiful, Kathy, that it does. And, you know, we've heard in the recent readings early along in the Easter season, you know, when the apostles were told to cork it, you know, don't be preaching in the name of Jesus. And what did Peter and the others say? You know, we must obey God and not men. And so that's the situation that we're in right now. And boy, as you look at the landscape out there, Kathy and Debbie, there's going to be a higher price to pay for all of us, I think, not just if we run an institution like a Catholic university, but those who are on Catholic radio, those who are pro-life. I mean, we're feeling the heat being ratcheted up right now in a lot of different areas. So this is just one of the many areas that we should be concerned about, I think.
Absolutely. Kathy, thank you so much for your contribution to this conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
You.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what do you have to think about? What do you have to say about this, folks? Talking about Catholic schools today. A lot of great ones out there. A lot of really goofball things going on some campuses. A lot of really downright, as Debbie said, just pernicious things are kind of invading some of our campuses. So what are we to do? How are we to think? Are you comfortable sending your kids to Catholic schools in your area? How do you think, the environment or the Catholicism, the tradition, the adherence to Catholic teaching may have changed maybe since you went to Catholic schools? 833-288-3986. We'll get you on the program.
Okay, Teresa is up next. Do we have time? Are we going to go to a break?
Yeah, can we start with Teresa just for a second? Yeah.
Oh, there goes the music. Teresa, hold on in Dallas, Texas. You hear that music. We're going to take a quick station break. And then when we come back, we're going to hear what you have to say about Catholic schools. That's what we're talking about today. How Catholic are your Catholic schools? We want to know how to make them better and more authentically Catholic. Call us, 833-288-3986.
Always. always love having you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani. As Debbie said earlier, Michael Birchfield is piloting the mothership today. Jeff Burson is on social media. Ryan Penny is screening your calls at 833-288-3986, talking about how Catholic are our Catholic schools. And as Debbie promised, Teresa, you're going to be next in Dallas listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Guadalupe Radio. Teresa, you get our False Start Award today. It's a virtual award. Welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call, guys. Mm-hmm. I believe this is statewide. But in our diocese, the parents are not allowed to opt out of vaccinations like the public schools are. And that creates a problem because, number one, the parents are the first educators. And number two, we should have full guardianship over what our children do and do not receive regarding vaccinations, especially the ethically tainted vaccinations. So that's a huge problem for me. I believe it's gravely wrong. And I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Well, I'm just a little confused, Teresa, because we have the philosophical exemption here in Arizona, and it's when I was going to send my children to Catholic school, they obviously were going to honor that if I chose that option. And I'm just wondering, is that a diocesan policy in your area, or are they
yes,
doing something?
Is. Yes, it is. I believe the only thing that will exempt your child from vaccinations is a letter from your doctor stating that it will gravely affect your child if they receive the vaccination. And that takes a ton of legwork. Really, how can you prove that? And, it just doesn't seem right.
Okay, so here's my question. So do you have philosophical exemption in the state of Texas? For the state?
Well, in our diocese, we do not. I believe it's statewide, but I don't want to say that it's statewide because I'm not definite about that, but I really do think that it is statewide.
Okay, well, you may want to check on that.
There is no philosophical, no exemption because of religious beliefs, no exemptions for any reason except if you have that letter from the doctor.
Okay, so here's this is just not to start any type of problem in your Catholic schools, but here's what you might want to do. Confirm that of what your state procedures are and what you are able to do as parents. Take that to the administration of this particular school. Talk to them about it. If not, move it up the ladder to the diocesan level and just express that, that you may lose some children in the Catholic schools because they'll opt for the public school because they have that, the parents have, better a freedom to choose what's right for their children. Now, here's the other thing I just would say, Teresa. I know there was one Catholic school here in Arizona that really pressured the parents not to opt out, and parents kind of pushed back, and they were allowed to sign something saying that their child would be quarantined at home if something were to happen, if they were to get measles or something like that. So I think you might want to have a little bit more of a conversation with the administration of this particular school, and then if not, keep going up the ladder to the diocesan level just to find out what their reasoning is, because typically they conform with what's going on in the state. Have you done that already, Teresa?
I have done that years ago, and I've just kept going into a brick wall.
Unfortunate.
It's just got very frustrating. So I stopped, and my children got the vaccinations, and I just prayed to our Blessed Mother that they would not receive any of the negative side effects, with the tainted ones. And right. So far, they're good. I mean, well, it took a leap of faith, and I don't want to think that I wimped out. I hope I didn't wimp out. It just really bothers me that they have that policy, and I don't know. I'm not really affiliated with enough parents to go together as a group.
Right.
If I could get parents together, I would definitely be interested in that. But I don't know of any other parents that this is a concern of theirs, or if they even really know about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say that you say to yourself that you wimped out, Teresa. I think you held out very, very courageously, and I think, you were going with what your conscience and your beliefs and your research wanted you to do. Let's continue to pray, as I'm sure you will, that there won't be any problems with your kids. And I face something actually rather similar because I'm a volunteer chaplain's assistant at a local hospital, and flu shots are required. And I haven't had a flu shot probably since I was a kid. And I'm, you know, healthy as a horse. You know, I don't get the flu. I don't get colds. But because of my position, for me to just simply to enter the patient's rooms and take them to the Eucharist or pray with them or whatever, I had to have the flu shot. So I just went into the drugstore and got the flu shot and said, okay, Lord, you know, whatever, you got to take care of this. So there are these situations, Teresa, and, you know, we got to just, I guess, ultimately, Teresa and Debbie, leave things in God's hands in a situation like this.
Yeah. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
Your take on this today. Okay, let's move to Becky. Becky has been waiting so patiently. Becky, you're definitely getting our Patience Award today in Columbus, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. First time caller. I should ring a bell for you, Becky. Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much. I was calling because I went to Catholic schools from kindergarten until 12th grade, my senior year in high school, and I had a very wonderful experience. Well, now my kids are getting about to kindergarten age, and honestly, I'm nervous. Like I know the school that I went to is very faith-filled now. It's a wonderful school. The parishioners are very involved. All the parents are very involved in the parish. The issue is we've moved an hour away, and I can't send my kids there. And I don't know very much about the school that's in our area now, but it's not quite – I know it's not near as wonderful as where we came from. And I'm just so nervous about sending my children to school.
Okay, so Becky, couple things. When does your child, your oldest child, start kindergarten? In a couple years, you said?
Yeah, he still has like about 2 years before he'll start.
Okay, perfect. Becky, you're in a perfect time to start the conversation now and interviewing the Catholic schools that are near you. Sit down with the administration, sit down with the principal, sit down with the pastor and say, I'm thinking of sending my child to your school. Tell them your story of what the great school, authentically Catholic school you came from. You moved an hour away. Tell them, say, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. I may have to bus my children an hour to my school that I know they're going to get Catholic teaching. Can I be guaranteed that here? What is the atmosphere like? What can I do to participate as a parent now before my child gets to the school so that you can see what's going on? There's so many ways that the problem I worked for, I worked for a parish for six years. I couldn't remember. 6 years. I'm getting older, Becky. 6 years that had a school attached to it. Okay. And I'll tell you what, parents used to come in every single week interviewing the school and the staff and everybody. Okay. You have every right to do that. And if you're starting to get, if you find that it's a little bit of you get some resistance from them, well, then that could be a red flag. You know, you have to look at everything and make a, you'll know when you get on campus there, because you went to Catholic school, Becky, you'll know if it feels right for your children. What do you think about that? Could you start doing it now, the work now, before your child becomes that age where you just have to sign them up and send them off?
Oh, definitely. My husband and I have both been looking already at, like, where are we going to send them? What are we going to do? I mean, we've talked about, you know, are we going to try to homeschool? Is that even an option for us? Because, you know, we want to be able to have the support, the community support, and everything to be able to really raise them in the faith. And so, yeah, we've already started kind of looking around at some options, and now to really dive in, that seems like a great idea.
Yeah, I agree with Debbie, Becky. You're already doing the groundwork, and you're doing it well in advance. I think too many parents are caught off guard, actually, when they think, you know, it's safe, it's a Catholic school, so it's got to be great for my kids. And then something becomes public or something happens at the school, and parents are like, well, what's going on? I didn't know that, you know, and then they have to react versus, you know, plan and prepare, which you're doing. So there are a lot of great choices out there. You have the time, and I think it's great that you're talking about this right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Becky?
Well, yeah, go ahead, Deb. Well, Becky, before you answer that, Jerry, share about like Notre Dame and other universities, because of strong, faithful Catholics that have come into the freshman class and they have moved the culture and the atmosphere to be more back, you know, more back. Is that even right? Nick, tell me from
Nick,
Texas, is that right? If you're listening. By the way, Nick, we got your phone call. We just love your message you sent us. But anyway, find out if that could help. And why don't you share that before Becky responds? Because that's really important. That's very encouraging.
Well, it's just a lot of schools, not just Notre Dame, but you know, you hear about a lot of Catholic campuses where it's the students coming in. And I noticed this in seminaries too, where I went, that had kind of gotten, you know, a little bit you know, questionable on their Catholic identity. And then it was the student body. It was the seminarians coming in. It's students sometimes coming in. This even occurred at my alma mater, Franciscan University of Steubenville, where everybody, when you hear that school mentioned right now, along with a lot of other schools, you think, wow, they're just fantastic. But when Father Michael Scanlon took over there, they were, I think, I heard they were in the top 10 list of party schools for Playboy magazine. So, you know, and it was Father Scanlon, and then the students that started to come in. And, you know, a lot of students said, I don't want to stick around for this, you know, change. I see the transformation happening. But, yeah, so Debbie's point, Becky, is simply that I think we're seeing, you know, even in the pro-life movement, you know, young people today are predominantly pro-life. The young Catholic students just want the straight truth about their faith. So I think from the ground up, we're seeing a lot of good changes on campuses around the country. That's the point there. So,
mm-hmm. What do you?
Very comforting. Yeah, it's a very good thing to hear, because, we want to do it right. And I've personally noticed more of a movement to coming back to the faith. And, you know, my husband and I have been helping out with some retreats, and our goal right now is to bring, I don't know if you've heard of Welcome with Matthew Kelly.
Mm-hmm. I have. Mm-hmm.
We're trying to bring that to our parish where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And so, we're trying to really bring a lot of our neighbors and community back to the faith. And I'm hoping maybe with that, our schools will really benefit with that.
Yeah, absolutely. The more you can get involved, the more that you have ministries thriving and they're good and wholesome ministries, you're going to see the fruits of that, Becky. And by the way, real quickly, I just want to say, I mentioned one of our loyal listeners, Nick, who is just so proficient about speaking correctly. And Nick left us a beautiful phone call. And I don't know why I made a mistake. I said, Nick is from Texas. Actually, Becky, Nick is from Ohio, and he listens to St. Gabriel Radio too. So you have somebody in your community that speaks really well, just to let you know that.
All right.
So there you go.
I'd be happy to meet him.
Yeah, awesome. You never know. You might meet Nick. He's cool. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Becky. Talking about Catholic schools today. How are they doing overall? A lot of great things going on. Still some problematic issues being manifested in some places. We want to hear from you. And Ryan got through, and he is in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Jerry and Deb. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Appreciate
how are
your
you?
Call.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to share some good news about Catholic education and what's going on in Alberta. I recently attended our provincial March for Life last Thursday with my fellow Knights of Columbus, and it was very encouraging to see that every Catholic student in high school in Alberta attended as a school-sanctioned field trip. So as much as I hear other Catholic schools maybe not adhering to the teachings of the church, I just wanted to share some good news that our schools up here are still very much following the church's teachings.
Wow.
And for any parents that want a good, you know, moral foundation for their children, Catholic mm-hmm. or not Catholic, Catholic education is just an awesome option mm-hmm. for families. We're planning on sending our son there. I'm
nice.
Not a cradle Catholic. I married into the faith. So I'm just very passionate about Catholic education. And given that parents spend less time with their kids than the school does, having Catholic education that instills the same moral foundations that we want to instill at home, at school, is just a godsend. So
beautiful. Well, that is very encouraging, and that's awesome. And God bless you for making the sacrifices you had to make to send your child there, because I know it can be costly, and that's sometimes people are afraid to jump in on that because they think, well, is this going to be really worth it? It sounds like in your area, Ryan, it is definitely worth it. And I absolutely love the way you say you married into the faith. I love that. That is so cool. Yeah, I love that. Well, welcome to the family. How's that?
Thank you very much. It's through the grace of God, my wife was sent into my life, and mm-hmm. I had no idea the degree she would mold me into a stronger man, and both like a better father and a better man. So
wow.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Well, she's, okay, go ahead.
I was going to say she's got to be a great woman, Ryan, and you sounds like you really hit the jackpot there, and it sounds like she didn't do too bad either, really. Go ahead, Deb.
Right. I was going to say the same thing that Jerry said, but Ryan, but okay, so take another 10 seconds, and if you want to say her first name, go ahead and say something to her, because you're probably going to say, honey, I was on the radio today, so let her hear a message from you.
Melissa, I love you so much.
Oh,
beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. That was so sweet. I'm going to cry. Stop it, Ryan. Okay. All right.
God bless you, awesome. Ryan.
Thank you. Wow. That
God
was
bless
a great.
You both.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded. His call reminds me of what's the diocese in the U.S.? I think it's Wichita, where Catholic schools are free for, practicing Catholics. And, you know, I think the bishop there, one recent
Kansas?
Bishop. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the current bishop or the previous one, but I think they still presently do have free Catholic schools for the kids. If somebody listening in that area, well, I think that's the diocese where they have that.
Okay, well, somebody from Arizona better tell me if that's right, because it wasn't our Bishop Olmsted from Wichita?
I believe so. Yeah. Not originally.
Not no, original, he's from yeah. Nebraska, but
Nebraska,
isn't he,
yeah.
But wasn't he the bishop there?
I believe he was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that was... when he was there. So somebody share that with us, and do you want to share like a highlight? Is it Catholic? What is it today that we want to highlight?
Let's
see. Will you
help
me out? Because my computer screen is
Yeah, we
frozen.
Want to mention, well, the EWTN Religious Catalog, and that is at EWTNRC.com. Whether you're looking for jewelry items or videos or books or CDs or statues, anything to enhance your Catholic faith life, a good plug to have on today's show, go to the EWTN Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com. Okay. Yeah, Mike is next in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Mike, listening on Sirius XM 130. How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
I'm doing great. Let's keep the good news going. How are you two doing today?
Doing,
pretty well. Glad that you called.
Thanks, Mike.
Jerry, I want to assure you that St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is devoutly Catholic and has been devoutly Catholic through its entire existence. I graduated in 1983, and I am still involved somewhat through the Alumni Association. So just put your mind at ease.
Oh, no. Yeah, my mind wasn't disturbed about it. I was simply remarking about their incredible football success, which I follow not only from a distance, but I have spent many breaks in between work trips in Fort Lauderdale, and I got to meet Father Sullivan is his last name. I can't remember, but he was a teacher over there, and he used to tell me, you know, all kinds of great things about the school. So what's the best part about it, Mike? You went there, you said, and your son also graduated from there. Give a shout-out for St. Thomas Aquinas.
Well, my son actually graduated from a school here in the Atlanta metro area called Blessed Trinity in Roswell, Georgia. They are also devoutly Catholic at Blessed Trinity, though they do want to put a greater emphasis on being a top-notch prep school. That doesn't dilute the fact that they are devoutly Catholic. As for St. Thomas, it's at least a two-time winner of the Top 50 Schools in the Country award winner from an educational standpoint. They won it the inaugural year that President Reagan put that into effect, and I know they've won it at least once since then.
Wow, praise God. I just looked up in my email folders. It's Father William Sullivan is the priest that I got to know at St. John the Baptist Church in Fort Lauderdale when I was staying down there. So, Debbie, great news from Mike in Atlanta
St.
Thomas
Aquinas.
Yeah, it's wonderful to know. And like we said earlier, Mike and Debbie, it's not an either or. You know, they can have a nationally top-ranked football team, or our girls can have a volleyball team or whatever, and it doesn't have to impinge upon their Catholicism at all. Mike, I'm so glad to hear that you called in today. Debbie, do you have anything?
You know, I'm just grateful to you, Mike, that you did call in and enhance this conversation. So it's very encouraging. So we need to hear more of that. But I got to tell you, Mike, I'm still stuck on Ryan sending a message to his wife, Melissa. I kind of got all choked up there. So, Mike, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day in the great state of Georgia. Okay, Lisa is next. And Lisa is in Wichita, Kansas on Catholic Radio Network. First time caller. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to call in, and you are correct. The Diocese of Wichita is a stewardship diocese and has been for several years before we moved here, and so there is no tuition to any of our grade school or Catholic high schools. Wow. And I think that has fostered a wonderful culture. And right now I have two in elementary, two in high school, and my older two drive 30 miles a day to go to the high school because we feel it is worth it. And just wanted to share a little bit about kind of the sports aspect. I could share so many stories, but this just kind of stood out to me with my kids participating. My youngest son's in football. At the beginning of the year, they dedicated a beautiful new large crucifix that sits atop the scoreboard and had a prayer service with the priest. And this was with a public school, you know, being the team we were playing. And they put that crucifix there not to exclude people, but to welcome people in the name of Jesus. This same football coach has the players set spiritual goals and meets with them one-on-one to go over that.
Wow.
Teams participate in prayer services or mass on the days that they have a game. His track coach is also coaches cross country. And when the first runner from our school comes through, he stops at the finish line and starts praying the rosary. And he stays there. And as each teammate comes across, he joins in with where they're at, and they pray that rosary until our last runner crosses the line, praying
goodness.
And supporting each other. This same coach is also the track coach and has really instilled service into these kids, service and respect. They answer him, "Yes, coach." And every teammate stays to the end of the track meet, no matter where they are, how far away from home they are. And they hand out trash bags, and those kids clean the entire field, the stands.
Wow.
They pick up all the trash every track meet and then go down and meet with him. So those are just a few of the examples. You know, our school offers retreats. It offers daily mass. You know, they're really, truly living the stewardship way of life in that church. And it's been a wonderful experience. And I just wanted to share that because we need to pray for our schools and pray for our teachers that are willing to do this for these kids.
Real quickly, Lisa, what bishop that started that stewardship process for your beautiful diocese, which bishop was that?
You know, and I feel terrible. It was before we moved to this area.
Okay.
And I'm afraid I would not answer correctly. So
okay, I'll do the research on that.
Know.
I'll do the research on that. I'm just curious because that is a wonderful method to provide everybody's involvement in Catholic education and to keep it authentic. Because when you're doing it as a group effort like that, everybody's kind of, you know, keeping eyes on one another. And that's a good thing. What do you think, Jerry?
Hey, I'm so glad that you called in, Lisa, and to verify that because I was thinking it was Wichita, and see, it just shows that it can be done. One of the things that keeps Catholic parents from sending their or even non-Catholic parents from sending their kids to a Catholic school is the cost, and we certainly understand. I mean, teachers have to be paid, and you know we don't have the number of priests and religious that we used to have. So, but I applaud Wichita for doing that, and Lisa, thank you for your call. I want to mention, Debbie, that Ryan, who was just on with us in Alberta, he says on Facebook, he says, "Hey, I was just on the radio. Catholic education is free in Alberta. Parents pay taxes to whatever school system they want. Just thought I would add that. God bless." So I forgotten to mention that.
Okay.
And I did. Yes. I got to say something else. I'm exchanging emails with Cindy Black, the executive director of Redeemer Radio, during this show. And we get a lot of calls from their listeners. And I just wanted to give a shout out because a lot of times Catholic school athletics and other events, not just athletics, but extracurriculars can be an evangelization opportunity. And I mentioned Redeemer Radio because like several other stations and networks around the country, Deb, they air the Catholic school football games, basketball games, girls volleyball. So Bishop Dwanger and Bishop Lures in the Fort Wayne area and probably over in South Bend too, you know, they get on the radio, the guys who broadcast the games and the visiting teams, you don't want to hear their kids playing them. So they tune in and they're talking about God and praying the Hail Mary and this kind of stuff. So there are really a lot of opportunities there for those who want to really make use of these platforms to include our faith and not shove it off to the side so that nobody's offended, you know. So,
well, look, it's like what Lisa was sharing too about, you know, when they're playing sports and praying before in the spiritual direction and praying the rosary. I mean, those are all evangelization efforts. They're very subtle, but they have an impact. You know, people are drawn to that. This is amazing. Jerry, we have full phone lines. Can we do it? Can we have a part two? We're going to need a part two.
I think we have to. The listeners have spoken. The Take Two family has spoken, Debbie. You know, we're not E.F. Hutton. They're not E.F. Hutton, but they're our listeners. So when they talk, we listen.
Okay, so part two. Yeah, part two tomorrow. Sylvia, we have to hear what happened at the Catholic school you're referencing about teaching atheism. We have to hear that. Please call back tomorrow or email us, take2@EWTN.com. And Robert and the others, please call back tomorrow. And Ryan will put you at the head of the line. There's more coming in. We're going to do a part two on how Catholic are your Catholic schools. Very important topic, Jerry.
All right. Until then, we pray that you are well, that you are blessed. Keep all of us in your prayers, please, at EWTN, and especially the Take Two family. We need the prayers just as much as you do. So know that you are in our prayers each and every day. Thanks to Michael Birchfield again, Jeff Burson, Ryan Penny. I'm Jerry Usher for Debbie Giorgiani. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. Part two coming up tomorrow. Get your calls ready.